Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny live from Redskins Park in Ashburn. Chad Dukes versus the world starts at 2. His breakdown on the game between now and then. We got a lot more to chew on. So plenty more meat on this bone from a 16-3 victory over the Bucs as the Skins went on the road and allowed just 3 points to one of the great offenses the league has seen over the last few years. Chris Russell is with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He hosted the postgame show last night. Russell, I want to start with the Skins D and with Ryan Anderson because he is a guy that all he's guilty of, as I told Danny, is that he's not as good as I wanted him to be coming out of Alabama. But he's working hard. He's made a couple plays this year. And the play he made yesterday, I thought, this is the kind of thing you never see as a Redskins fan. He didn't quit. It was just one of those quirky, all-hustle, wacky things that you see four or five times over the course of a month in the NFL watching all the games. And it never seems like a Redskin makes that play, and he did. It was huge, that punch fumble that flew 20 yards in the air.
Yeah, it was monstrous. And you're absolutely right the way you described it at the 19-yard line in full pursuit. I've seen that, you know, from these Alabama guys, right? And maybe that's an overreaction to the whole Alabama thing, but that's what Nick Saban preaches down there is guys' lateral movement, never giving up on plays, hustling back. When you can't make the first play, you get back involved. And that's exactly what Ryan Anderson did. But think about it, right? How many times have we seen a freaky, like, forced fumble, maybe not of that type, go, like, you know, for the Redskins initially, and then somehow, some way, wind up in the hands of the opponent? Think about it, where that ball wound up, Grant, Danny. I mean, that could have been a touchdown if it lands in the hands of a Buccaneer. And then you go from a great play to 7 points for the Buccaneers if it wasn't the Redskins' day, especially in the red zone, and obviously it was. And by the way, Ryan Anderson is scheduled to join me tonight at some point between 6:30 and 7:30 here on The Fan.
Oh, that's a good deal. Yeah, or they fumble and it goes out of bounds and somehow it reverts back to Tampa and like the new rule or some kind of other nonsense. Russell, what did you make generally here of the defense's ability to force those turnovers? How much of this is Tampa Bay screwing up and how much of it was, you know what, the Redskins had a plan, looked like to give up a lot of stomach punches, but nothing over the top? I thought that worked out really well, but what were your thoughts on their ability to generate those takeovers? How much is it them and how much was it Tampa just being Tampa?
Yeah, I know this sounds straddling the fence, but I think it's probably closer to 50-50 than we want to, you know, maybe admit. I mean, certainly Tampa threw up all over themselves constantly, but the Redskins had to be in the right spot at the right time. Again, Stroman, who I know you guys had on, to jump that one route. Josh with a great acrobatic athletic play at the goal line on the first drive. Of course, Preston with the sack and forced fumble. Now, I guess some people have issue. You know, they want Kerrigan to get there. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares? The bottom line is they made the play when it absolutely had to be made. And I think Casanova, how do you say it? McKenzie. Sack came. Yeah. I mean, he looked like Junior Gillette turning the corner and getting real low and bendy on the one sack that he had that I guess he didn't get credit for, whatever the situation was. The bottom line is the Redskins, even DJ Swearinger, who I know you had on early in the show, you know, he had that one third down breakup where he races in and ha-ha Clinton Dix comes racing over when Danny Johnson gets beat on the deep shot. You know, so to me, the Redskins were anticipating. They were jumping stuff. They were recognizing it. They were seeing where Ryan Fitzpatrick guys were going. Yes, it takes two to tango. You've got to telegraph some things if you're the Buccaneers and, again, throw up all over yourself and give those opportunities or give chances for those opportunities. But then a defense has got to take advantage of them, and the Redskins did exactly that. So kudos to them. I thought it was – I don't want to say it was – you know, again, people get mad at me when I say outrageous things. in some ways, it was Patriots-like, right? Give up a ton of yards, maybe not as many as you would normally want to give up, but give up a ton of yards and then just tighten the belt and tighten the noose inside the red zone.
At WrestleMania 621 on Twitter, Chris Russell joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Russell, I wanted to ask you about Zach Brown and his little Twitter the commentary, whatever you want to call it, before the game. He went out and played really well. So here's my question. It's not specifically about that. How many times have we seen that, and then that's the Weezer-style thread that destroys the sweater, where the next thing you know, it's the good ship leak a lot, the end of the Mike Shanahan era, some kind of crap like that. Seems like that happened. And whether he deleted the tweet and it was squashed, whatever it was, they came out and played really well as a unit the following game. I think that's a testament to the corner turning here a little bit culturally for the Redskins.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know who exactly got to Zach or what that was about. It was kind of weird timing, right? It was almost like in those Saturday night meetings, essentially, because I think it came out Saturday evening, if memory serves me correct. Like the coaches kind of put it to him. I think it's, in general, frustration, him being frustrated with his role, being that Josh Harvey Clemens basically, plays a lot in the nickel on third down and in obvious passing downs for him, and he wants to be on the field more, and he feels he's essentially being blamed for that. Whatever the reason is, we know this. I think this coaching staff, whether you like everything that they do or not, certainly there is things to pick on, they are using their personnel better, right? There's no doubt that Zach Brown struggled mightily against the pass last year, and Josh Harvey Clemens, his attributes speak, it's just better. He's more athletic, and he can cover more space, and he can jump and anticipate more routes along with the two safeties that they have. The Redskins are better nickel defense, a better pass defense when they have those guys on the football field, period. That's it. Sorry if your feelings are hurt. I don't care. You have to win games because this is the only way you're going to win games. So however they got it squashed, whether it's DJ, whether it's the two Alabama guys, whatever the case might be, the bottom line is everybody has a right to blow off some steam. I got it. You're frustrated. You want to do more. You want to help more. You want to not be called out. You want to not be embarrassed. But the bottom line is they were able to overcome it. You're right. It hasn't always happened here in the past.
Chris, I like Josh Doctson's game yesterday. Four for around 40. Look, you catch what's thrown to you, right? He had four chances. He made all four catches. One great reception on the sideline. And I thought the touchdown back of the end zone was a really impressive snag, getting some contact and corralling the football. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that sideline catch probably, in my opinion, more impressive than the touchdown. But for him to break off his route in the back corner of the end zone and to give his quarterback a chance, I mean, it's still a decently lengthwise throw, but it's an easier throw to make over the middle of the field from where Alex is obviously moving and shuffling his feet than to the back corner of the end zone if Doctson just sets up camp there and doesn't move and doesn't bend off his route. And then to not step out of bounds, which was initially the fear, I'm not sure why Brenneman on the broadcast said a hat was off one of the officials. I know there was some confusion. He was really, in my opinion, nowhere close to actually going out, so I'm glad that wasn't a big deal. And, great job securing that ball. Great seed by Alex Smith. I thought Alex, of course, that's their one touchdown drive. I thought he was phenomenal on that drive. The third down throw on third nine of Maurice Harris, great route, great job by Mo on that. The first down, the second down throw, two plays after that to Jordan Reed on a little skinny post slant. A great throw, great move, great route by Jordan Reed. And again, the slide down by Alex, the play before the Doctson touchdown. So to me, that was what this offense can be when it's humming, when it's clicking. And that was even overcoming a negative 4-yard run by Adrian Peterson just a couple of plays before that touchdown.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good one today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Just
Chris Russell on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. I have scribbled a couple things down for Do Not Forget About.
Oh, I got a few things.
Which we will do next. There are a bunch of things over the course of these shows, even when we have 4 hours to break down Redskins wins and losses, that sometimes just don't come up. So this is where you guys come into play. You watch the games intently. You've got your own notepad, right? You know what we haven't talked enough about. You can steer, really, wherever you want to about the game. 800-636-1067. The way it works is you'll tell us don't forget about, and then you'll make your point next on G&D on the Fan. Swearinger called Redskins home games some of the worst things I've seen. There's a story that was posted by Blue Shorts on the fan, DC.com. Tip of the cap to him for doing so. From our interview with DJ Swearinger, we'll play some of the audio from that interview coming up at 1:30. He says, I feel like we play better on the road, which is what Josh Norman told reporters in Tampa Bay yesterday. Swearinger, in saying that he thinks that Norman's comments were correct, went on to say that he doesn't like being booed at home. He said, you're just stretching your arms when he's agreeing with Danny when he's trying to get the crowd basically involved instead of actually leading to any kind of noise. He says, nobody don't see us getting the crowd up, but I guess that'll take time because we haven't won. But you can't really say that because I've been in Houston and Arizona where they haven't won, but those diehard fans will go out, win, lose, or draw. Some, that's no excuse for losing. Every NFL team loses. No NFL team wins the Super Bowl every year. We're the Washington Redskins, but we don't play in Washington. We play in Maryland, and we live in Virginia. He thinks that could be a factor as well. So we'll get into this coming up in just a few minutes. Do not forget about Danny, something that isn't getting enough run today after a Redskins win.
Couple guys tweeted us this, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. How about Way, Tress? No touchbacks this year. He pins people deep. When they need a big booming punt, he delivers that. When other teams might need a special team spark, he doesn't allow it. There was a wonderful, every kick should be this way, exactly this way, by the way. He pinned the Bucks punt returner right up against the sideline, nowhere to go. It should either be right there or out of bounds. That's where the default should be every single time. Perfect execution. Tressway was excellent in this game with field position. And our kicking game in general, by the way, is very, very good. It's not a negative as it's been in the past.
4 and 6 yard line starting field position for Tampa Bay on two of their drives, including the 15-yard line on another drive in the game. The Redskins kicking game, which Danny mentioned is being good, also encompasses a strong season to this point from Dustin Hopkins, 2 for 2 yesterday, 17 for 19 on the year. Don't forget about Adrian Peterson rushing for about 75% of his yards in the second half as he put the game away. Don't forget about Maurice Harris and Alex Smith seemingly finding a little rhythm together. Now, Harris, I don't know that he's ever made anybody miss. He's basically a very, very rich man's Ryan Grant at this point. But 5 targets, 5 catches, 52 yards, a nice job following up on his 10 catches for a buck last week. Let's go to the phones at 800-636-1067. We'll start with Chris in Hyattsville on line 3. Chris, what shouldn't we forget about?
Chris, hey, man.
How are you, buddy?
Sorry about
You all right?
Yeah, no, one thing I don't want to forget about, and maybe it's been said, is Morgan Moses and his ability to just play through God knows how many injuries.
Everything, yeah.
That's a great call.
You know, I originally was holding for something else, but I won't go into it. I do think that Alex Smith's ability to not turn over the ball in pivotal points of the game, it's been said a lot, but it's something that needs to be said over and over again. You know, the other quarterback coughed up the ball 3 times. So I do think that's one of the fundamental reasons between losing and winning this year. But Morgan Moses is a gamer, and he's been for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, he has not missed a game.
And in fact, he is a tough dude, man.
Midway through last week, everyone was going, Morgan Moses is probably not going to play. And I just looked at NFL.com and the fact that he's never missed a game once and he's always hurt. And I said, bet you he plays. Now, whether he's effective or not can be a different conversation. It's a good phone call. And yes, I think that ad nauseum we have discussed the fact that they're better off because Alex Smith has not turned the ball over. It's tough. You know, it's a hard thing because one of the reasons that they aren't more prolific offensively is also because of the fear of turning the ball over. And there's a middle ground there that would probably lead to more success. But if you're either going to turn the ball over or not turn the ball over, and you got to choose one of those, then being plus 11 with only 7 turnovers, the lowest in the league, is obviously far superior than turning it over too much. Sean's in Arlington. Sean, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Yeah, so first I want to say you guys are really, really enjoyable to listen to, especially when you guys go on a rant. Especially when you go on a rant the day after we beat the Penguins or the Cowboys. I just love that.
It's always delightful. Those are fun times.
Thanks, buddy.
Those are awesome. You guys are the best at it. Let's not forget that this coaching staff had 2 Pro Bowl best-in-class linemen go down, went to people on their couch, and put together a pivotal win. And I think that we should take a look at this season and say, let's go get us a single playoff win, and that's the bar. go to the draft next year, get some more linemen, some more special players, and stop with all the drama and beating people up that are doing a great job. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I keep going back to this. At the trade deadline, I really wish they'd gone and gotten one playmaker somehow, some way. I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. I just feel like it might have made some. But they've built something here, which is the ability to be competitive in nearly every game. If a great team plays against them that's humming on all cylinders, at least on offense at this point, you might as well just sit everybody and let Atlanta score 50 points or let New Orleans score 50 points. But for the other 80% of the league, they can play with everybody else. And they're going to get in a mucky, dirty, mud-filled, December-style football, as Clinton Portis put it, the type of game. And they need to continue to add talent. You know, I mean, you've got some veteran guys that are going to be here, but they need a couple young, dynamic players, both probably on offense and defense for that matter. But it's a solid core at this point, and that hasn't been true for a long time.
It's well said. A Golden Tate, who people wanted them to trade for, caught two balls for 19 yards for the Eagles last night, and they lost. They may miss the playoffs, and they gave up a third-round pick. Now, they maybe will use him way more extensively moving forward, but it's not as easy when you add a guy who's a playmaker in your offense to just say, get them the ball. It takes some time to learn an offense, to get into the flow, to be a part of something, to get on the same page with your quarterback. We're still talking about Maurice Harris, who's been here since the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. and some of these guys learning some tendencies with Alex Smith. So I was not as much a proponent of doing that. Maybe your personnel gets a little bit better, but it's not a quick fix. It's not some immediate thing. Again, Tate last night caught two balls for less than 20 yards, and you gave up a pretty big pick for him. Let's go to Juan in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Grant, Danny. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's up, man?
I have something that maybe not chatted about that much, but it's the extracurricular off the field activities, man. You know, you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of yourself. And with all this momentum we got going in here, the second half of the season, you know, we don't forget about don't drink and drive. You know, don't do things that are going to get you, you know, in bad positions out off the field. You know, and take care of yourself. And I mean, you can't forget about that stuff. So I just want to say that. And thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, man. Yeah, hopefully. Unless you know something that I don't. I haven't seen any reports or anything like that. So I guess maybe if the point is don't start doing that, that's fine. But yeah.
I think he's saying don't forget about handling your business even though you're winning.
I think the point of the exercise is to say, hey, these are hidden things in the game yesterday that helped them win the football game. That was a general life tip, I think, for pro athletes.
That was a life tip.
can I add my own don't forget about?
Please.
Yeah. I'd say don't forget about callers not understanding topics, and that happens all
Dar.
The time.
You're being mean, Dar. You're being mean.
That's Brendan Dar saying that.
Honest.
I like our callers. I like when they call in. I like when they listen to the show. Without them doing those two things, our shows are worse. Our ratings are worse. We don't get to have nice dinners. We don't get to drive the cars that we like to drive. So I like callers. Mm. That's me saying that.
That is what
it's Danny saying that. But it's not Dar saying that.
Right.
Dar saying other things. That's Brendan Darcy, who wanted to see WrestleMania one time. Did I say his name right? That's not his name.
Dassey. But Brendan Darcy's our Brendan Dassey.
That's a good point. So I didn't botch it.
Like the other day, Dar was listening to Thami, wasn't even paying attention. He was kind of half listening to Thami was saying something, and Dar goes, yeah.
That's a good bit.
No.
Don't forget about Michael Floyd making a great catch on the sideline for a
really
first down.
Good catch.
Hell of a catch.
Tapping the toes.
Slightly overthrown ball. Don't forget he dropped a pass, too, that he should have caught. That would have helped Alex
Not
Smith.
An easy catch, but this is the NFL on Sundays, dude.
Yeah,
I need that
throw,
catch made.
Make that catch for your quarterback.
It's got to be made.
Yeah, he made a good enough throw, but he did make a great catch on the sideline. Hey, don't forget about Jeremy Sprinkle almost caught his first pass of the season. Not an accurate pass, but they targeted him.
Well, this is to the negative. Don't forget that they wasted all three timeouts in the second half. This is something that has long driven me nuts about NFL coaches and Jay Gruden most specifically. That second half timeout in what could be a very close game ended up being a two-possession game, so no one ever remembered this thing. They squandered second half timeouts early in the third quarter because they couldn't get personnel in on time. Jay had a statement after the game where he even said, "That first one's my fault, man. I had the finger on the wrong button on his headset thing or whatever."
Did he say that?
That's what he said. I need that never to happen. Coaching mechanics need to be 100% perfect every time, all the time.
I did not hear that.
Because it's controllable. That's the thing that can never, ever be wrong. You must be 100% at all times. Anything less is unacceptable. Things happen where you dial up a great play and your quarterback overthrows Vernon Davis. That's not your fault. That's a good play design. That's a good call. Everything about that's good. Some people will hold it against you. They shouldn't. That's correct. What is unacceptable is a wasted timeout in the second half of a one-score game because you couldn't get personnel on the field. They did it two times and then wasted another timeout early on. Had Tampa scored on any of their million red zone trips, you might have needed that second half timeout at some point.
Let's go to David in Germantown on line two. David, what should we not forget about on the Redskins front?
Don't forget about the Cowboys play the Falcons and the Eagles play the Saints.
It's true.
Yeah, buddy.
NFC East. I don't know who the Giants play, but it doesn't matter because they're irrelevant. The Redskins play the Texans. A chance, perhaps, if you can get a win to gain even more ground in a division, you have a chance to maybe take stranglehold over if you can rip off another victory this weekend.
Yesterday set up so well for them.
Next on Grant and Danny, you will hear what DJ Swearinger told us about the environment at FedEx Field for him and his Skins. He agreed with Josh Norman one day earlier, saying that he'd rather play on the road. You'll hear that next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Hopefully you didn't miss any of today's show. It's been a fun one. Chad Dukes comes by in 25 minutes with Chad Dukes versus the World. Our show live in Ashburn today, and ideally we'll be doing this each Monday for the rest of the season because it means the Redskins won. If you missed Clinton Portis or any other part of today's show, including our interview with Greg Stroman, he picked off a pass for the first time in his career in a five-tackle performance yesterday. You can go to thefandc.com. You'll also find our interview with DJ Swearinger there. We had a great discussion with him about, among other things, he called a little powwow at his house, and he basically sent a text to all the DBs on the team, and he said, hey, anybody who wants to come watch film and get right after this Atlanta game, come to my house. We're going to watch this together. And a bunch of the guys, including Stroman, Danny Johnson, New Edition, Haha Clinton Dix, came to his house, and they watched that film, and he felt like that was instrumental. So that was a good story.
That
he gave
neat.
Me some details on that.
I love that kind of stuff, by the way.
Me too, and I think Redskins fans do also. But the most relevant thing he talked about on a national level that's going to get run, I think, is the fact that he doubled down on what Josh Norman said yesterday. You know how I feel? I feel like Norman is correct. I think Swearinger's correct, and I think fans can also be correct. I think everyone here can actually be right in that I'm upset because the team hasn't won for 25 years, and I'm taking it out on you. And fans saying that can hear players rebut to them, well, you shouldn't be taking it out on me. It's not my fault. We're 6-3 right now, and they're also right. But here was Swearinger in agreeing with Norman's comments. If you missed the comments after the game yesterday, he said he'd rather play on the road than at home. And this was earlier today on Grant and Danny with Swearinger, one of the Redskins leaders. I'm sure you heard Josh Norman's comments. We're not going to get into them much today, but we're going to probably be talking about them a lot tomorrow. Just so you know, I think what Josh Norman said is accurate. I think there's also a good reason why the environment has gotten to the point where it has. I don't want it to be as bad as it is, but the team hasn't won in so long that it's hard for the fans to stay motivated. But I'm curious, do you agree with Josh when he says, I don't want to say that you guys would rather play on the road, but that you're better on the road?
I would rather play on the road, too.
You would?
Most definitely.
Why is that?
Because you can hear on the road. You can hear communications. You don't have to worry about fans booing you. You know, you ain't got to worry about seeing the other team's jersey everywhere. You know it's going to be the other team's jersey because you're away. You know, home game, you know, that's some of the worst things I've seen. I played on 4 different teams. Never seen it that bad. You know, with other teams' jerseys in the stands, with, you know, the boos, whatever it may be. You know, it's, you know, I've never been a part of nothing like that.
As a player, does it affect you in any way? I mean,
It affects you to the point to when you want to get the crowd involved. You know, I recall when I was in AZ or in Houston, I would always wave my hands up, you know, just get the crowd up. But you know, if I do it here, it's like a blah.
Stretching your arms.
Like I'm stretching my arms. Like nobody don't see. They don't see us getting the crowd up. You know, but I guess that'll take time because of, you know, we haven't won. But you can't really say that because I've been in Houston and AZ where they haven't won. But those diehard fans will go out and win, lose, or draw. So, you know, there's no excuse of losing. You know, every NFL team loses. No NFL team wins the Super Bowl every year. So,
So why do you think it's different here then?
I don't know, man. I feel like... I really don't know. I feel like maybe something with, you know, I always said, I guess because, you know, we in three different states. You know, we're the Washington Redskins, but we don't play in Washington. We play in Maryland. And we live in Virginia. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, if the states matter. You know, I'm from South Carolina, but, you know, it's the North Carolina Panthers. So a lot of, I know in my state, you know, people either go to Atlanta or they go up to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So, and that has a part to do with, well, North Carolina is not in South Carolina. That's not our home team. And some people be like, okay, well, it's Carolina that is our home team. So I know down south it's a little different. So I don't know if it's like that up here. So
well,
I don't
D.C. is such a transient market, right?
Right.
So people that live in D.C., very few of them are from D.C. People move here for work or whatever.
Right,
so you have so many more fans here that are Steelers or Packers fans.
Cowboys.
But what always gets me, Cowboys, yeah, that's the worst.
Too much of that.
But what always gets me is I don't know, like, Falcons fans as an example. Mm-hmm. There are certain fan bases like Dolphins fans.
Right.
Everyone knows, like, two Dolphins fans in their entire life.
Right.
And then the Dolphins are here, and it's 20,000 people at the stadium.
Right, right.
Like, where do these people come from? I don't understand that.
I feel like they come from whatever they feel like their organization is. You know, if they're a Dallas fan, if they're Atlanta fan, if whatever fan they are, I feel like they just support their team. And I don't know if we have that full support of loyalty to the fans. You know, we may have a lot of Redskins fans, but the loyalty, I don't feel the loyalty.
But do you think, this is something we talk about all the time.
Right.
So Fred Smoot, you know Smooty.
Right.
Smoot and I last week were hanging out watching the game together, and he said, this was his opinion, I want to get your reaction. He basically said, I think my generation ruined this for the current team.
Mm.
And he said, basically, people used to come and they'd pack the house and they'd go crazy, and we never really had a chance, is what he said. I don't necessarily buy that. But his point was, you only can take so much of it. It doesn't sound like you buy that, though, because you're talking about 25 years. The Redskins were relevant and good and winning in 91,
mm-hmm.
and since then it's been 500 or worse for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
A couple playoff wins ever during the,
right.
since I was in a diaper. But it doesn't sound like you think that's the reason, or maybe that's a good excuse.
Not really, because I've been liking the team since I was a kid, regardless of their record. You know, I'm still going to be that fan. I'm still going to, you know, be diehard for the Lakers. I'm not going to change that, you know. So that's how I feel about basketball. So it may be different, but that's just how I see it. You know, if you're a fan of something, you can't be a bandwagon. You can't jump off that bandwagon. You got to be loyal. Through the ups and downs, through the thick and thin. If you're a true fan, you know, that's what you call a true fan. But, you know, if you're a fan that just like the colors or like the whatever you like, you know, you may get discouraged. You know, not 25 years is a long time. But like I said, if you're a true fan, you know, a true fan is going to be loyal to whatever you believe in.
Let's react to those comments from DJ Swearinger next on our way out. And this is something, obviously, that is going to be a major part of our show the next couple of days, and we'll be able to take a bunch of calls on this. But I want to get Danny's thoughts, want to give you mine next, and we could squeeze in a couple of your calls at 800-636-1067. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2. The Redskins are winners. They're in first place. They're 6-3. And speaking of home games, they're coming home to try to get to 7-3. Up two games in the NFC East. You are locked into The Fan live from Redskins Park. Oh, what a difference a week makes here at Redskins Park. 7 days ago at this time, Jay Gruden was about an hour away from a press conference with questions being asked about if the team's season was coming apart at the seams, and he was announcing that three guys had been lost for the season after a blowout setback.
I thought it was, and I was wrong.
This week, the Redskins got right. They got a win, and they're now even further ahead in first place in the division with less football to be played. a quality 7 days for this organization, for this coaching staff. As we welcome you back on a Victory Monday at Redskins Park, we just played the interview and the audio with DJ Swearinger on FedEx Field. You will hear it, I'm sure, either on our show or somewhere by the end of the day again. Your thoughts on what he said.
So I understand where everyone's coming from here. I understand the players' frustration. It has nothing to do with DJ Swearinger, the same way it had nothing to do with Nicholas Backstrom, that I was a doubtful Caps fan because of, you know, 30 years of Mario Lemieux and Ron Francis and Jaromir Jagr and what the Islanders did and whatever else. It's not the current player's fault that bad things happened in the past. No Red Sox team in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s had anything to do with Bucky Dent, right? That's just not relevant. But it is to the fans who are there and will be there and have been there long after the players are gone. When DJ pointed out the other cities he's played in, and this is the thing I disagree with players on, when you say, well, other teams have lost too. Okay. The only club that the Redskins are close to in terms of lack of success is the Cleveland Browns. Even that Arizona team that DJ's played on, they were in a Super Bowl 10 years ago. They were in a conference championship 3 years ago. They had three straight winning seasons. Houston will have winning seasons in four of the last 5 years. The Redskins have one time since the 90s where they had, quote, winning records, and one of those was 8-7-1 as of a couple years ago. So the idea that we've lost and they lost and it's all the same, it's not the same. The Redskins have had it worse, and their fans have had it worse. None of those other teams have had owners try to sue anybody, whether it's a newspaper or fans, for not being able to pay for their tickets. Nobody's dealt with 9/11 safety fees. Nobody's dealt with going to court in Prince George's County to make sure people couldn't walk on a pedestrian walkway, so they had to pay for parking. There have been a lot of indignities suffered by this fan base. It's not as simple as, I hate how dismissive it is, well, they haven't won, so people don't care. It's not just that. There's a lot more that this fan base has dealt with. And whether it was the double talk about the season ticket waiting list and using things to, you know, artificially inflate prices, whether it was StubHub partnerships to welcome opposing buses of fan bases in and then just make sure that they had a sellout, et cetera, while they're ripping seats out of the stadium. And this year, with all their good initiatives, and I'm in favor of what LaFamine and Ziff are doing, there are no cheap tickets now. So a regular Redskins fan, he's going to pay $100-some-odd to go in the upper bowl. It's a lot of money to ask for. And the only thing
that's what it costs.
I mean, know. That's what it costs. That's why I don't blame people for not going. My point is, if the criticism is, or if the complaint is, hey, I wish your home field environment was better. Yeah, so do I. I do. I understand that complaint. I can empathize with it. I'm even sympathetic. I'm just, if I'm on the team or if I'm part of the front office or if I'm anybody affiliated with the Redskins, I'm not going to blame my paying customers for anything. And that's kind of the unfortunate part about doing business in any field. A restaurant owner shouldn't blame people. A guy that makes a movie that he likes that people don't go see. You don't blame customers for not wanting your product. That's the only thing that I would say about that. It's disrespectful to the people that do put the money in and do go and cheer. They feel marginalized. For the people that gave up season tickets, of which there are tens of thousands, as we know about, and for people that, like me, that don't want to go anymore because it's not fun, it's not a worthwhile investment of your time, energy, and money because you don't enjoy it, then I think it's a perfectly reasonable decision to make. I understand wanting things to be better. That's a reasonable want, but I'm just sort of generally default to, as an organization, as players, as people, what can we do better to entice folks to come back?
Yeah, and I think most of what you just said is 100% accurate. I think it's a great analysis from the fans' perspective, as, you know, that the fans are the good guys kind of part side of this, as to why we are where we are. I'd make the case that in a lot of organizations, there are things that have been done either by the owner or that the team did over the years, if you followed them as closely, that you wouldn't have liked too. The Redskins are not alone in that. That they're not the only team that's done some of that. But here was my side of this. Everything you said, let's say, can be true.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm DJ Swearinger or I'm Josh Norman, what I'm saying is still 1,000% accurate.
Sure.
My team is 6-3. My team is playing well. We're taking to the field at FedEx Field, and our environment is terrible. That's true.
It's all true.
More of our fans should come to the games. I think that's true. The fans that are there need to be more energized and more vocal. It stinks to play in front of visiting fans. That's true. We've done this a million times. Why are there so many visiting fans? It's the transient market. So much of this cannot be fixed with great ideas by Brian LaFamine and Steve Ziff in a year or in 2 years or in 3 years. A lot of this is the losing. If they were winning for a bunch of years, they could do whatever they want. They could sue whoever they wanted. That's what matters, really, more than anything else, is the winning and the losing. But I think that what's going to happen is fans are going to get upset and bristle at Josh Norman. They're going to get upset and be mad at DJ Swearinger. those guys aren't saying anything wrong. Now, there's not a fix necessarily. There's nothing anyone can do. There's no button that can be touched to give them their wish, which is they play in a great home environment in front of 45, ideally, at the new stadium, or in this case, 70,000 Redskins fans who want to be there, who are very loud and energized and vocal. But here are some facts. FedEx Field is a terrible home field advantage. In fact, it's not one. There aren't enough Redskins fans there. There are too many visiting fans there. The energy in the stadium's not very good, and it's not very loud. All of those things are correct. And I can say that as someone who goes to almost every home game since 1999. I've been at 95% of them. That's just true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other conversation is, how did we get here? Why is it this way? All those things. Whose fault is it? But the bottom line is, right now, this second, they're 6-3, and there should be more Redskins fans coming out and watching and supporting and being loud than the last couple of years, because the team is better. And but hopefully that's the case as we get deeper into the year and they're playing important games. Go back to the division title game against the Dallas Cowboys.
2012, yeah.
It was packed. It was Redskins fans. They were loud. You know, all of a sudden it was worth your $100 to be there. So you were there. And I hope they're building it. You got to come.
Yeah,
that's my point.
I will always forgive fans for not buying in, especially when it comes to this team. Again, those other teams DJ Swearinger mentioned, not traditional powers, right? They've all had 11-win seasons. Arizona won 13 games. Houston won 12 games. The Redskins haven't had an 11-win season since 1991. Every time they've gone to the playoffs with their one playoff win, again, they're down there with Cleveland at the bottom of it. As much trash as Oakland has been, they've still been to a Super Bowl in the last two decades. To me, this is not just, oh, they've lost, so nobody cares. There's more to it than that, and I think you have to acknowledge that. It's not for the players to acknowledge. They could want this environment to be better. That's reasonable. To me, though, I just have a hard time. Well, let me rephrase. I understand people being upset at hearing themselves called out by the players, because they don't know what these fans have been through or chosen not to go through anymore, and those decisions to me are reasonable by the fans.
Yeah, and it's also reasonable to expect that when a team is playing well that you're a fan of, that if you have a ticket, you're going to go there and be very loud and vocal. You're not going to sell it. You're not going to no-show. And that if you like the team and you have the money, and there are tens of thousands of people in this area who do, that you might actually go to the game and support the team when they're vying for a division title. That's not unreasonable for these players to ask for either, I don't think. We'll be talking a lot more about this in the coming couple of days, I'm sure, right here on Grant and Danny. It's been a fun show from Redskins Park. If you missed DJ Swearinger, Clinton Portis, Greg Stroman, Chris Russell, or anything else that we did today, go to grantanddanny.com/audio for our podcasts. Of course, there's a great write-up on the Swearinger interview at thefandc.com. Chad Dukes is next with Chad Dukes versus the world.
Baseball Dukes is next. Bryce Harper changed his swing and stance. How? 4.5 hours of Chad next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.